Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Those of us fortunate enough to live in the Columbia Pacific region are not always aware of the many treasures which are in this area. Perhaps some of you are unfamiliar with the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge. I know when I hear Willapa, I think Willapa Bay, and I think Willapa Bay oysters. However, I don't know that much about Willapa National Wildlife Refuge, but today I'm going to find out, along with all of you, about this treasure on the Long Beach Peninsula. Willapa National Wildlife Refuge is over 15,000 acres of tidelands, temperate rainforest, ocean beaches, and small streams. It's preserving habitat for spawning wild salmon, hundreds of thousands of migrating shorebirds, and threatened species such as the western snowy plover and the marbled murrelet. And the refuge is a great place to see what the Pacific Northwest looked like 100 years ago. These words were written by one of my guests, Bob Duke. He is the community outreach coordinator for the Friends of Willapa National Wildlife Refuge. Hi, Bob.
Oh, good morning, Donna.
So glad to have you here in the studio today.
Thank you very much for having us.
We were neighbors when you lived here in Estuary, and now you're on the quiet, serene, lovely, and vibrant with wildlife and all things natural on the peninsula.
Yes, and I absolutely love it up there.
Excellent. I also have in the studio Clay Nichols. He is the president of the Friends of Willapa National Wildlife Refuge. Hi, Clay.
Good morning, Donna.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have you both here. And before we start talking about the wonders of Willapa and all the exciting things that are going on at the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge, let's learn a little bit about each one of you. Robert Duke, Bob Duke, please tell us about yourself.
My wife and I, well, whole family moved here in 2002 to be part of the upcoming Lewis and Clark Bicentennial. Became part-time rangers for Fort Clatsop and went to work for Cruise West Cruise Lines as exploration leaders for this area. And we lived here through about 2007 when in looking for interesting places to take visitors, I thought, well, let's go up to Long Beach Peninsula, and we take lots of people to Long Beach. And I thought, well, why not go all the way up to Oysterville? And I was totally dismayed that you could drive all the way up on one side and not see the bay and find no access to it whatsoever, and drive all the way back down on the ocean side and not even see the ocean. And I did that for a couple of weeks and thought, well, forget that. And I didn't go back up until a few years later. And I got myself a lunch and went up to Oysterville and sat on the bay, and just it really kind of grabbed me and said, someday I'm going to have to live here. The opportunity came in 2007. And with the bicentennial over and the economy doing what it was, we packed up everything and moved up to Ocean Park, Washington. And since then, have gradually become involved with the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge, along with the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum and everything else in the area, because the area is just so incredibly rich with culture and wildlife that one has to get involved.
Yes, and there are a lot of things that seem kind of tucked away that we don't know about. And Clay Nichols, please tell us about yourself.
Well, Donna, I guess I'd say that I have trouble keeping a job. I've spent about equal time, decades long, teaching at the college level at Boise State, for example, the University of Oklahoma, working for the federal government in energy programs, geothermal energy projects at the national level, volcano studies, and generally now as a retired citizen working for the National Academy of Sciences, chairing some of its committees on earth resources and its boards on energy resources. I really enjoy the peninsula here. I'm a relative newcomer, only lived here about 5 years, and having grown up in tornado-ravaged Oklahoma, this is really a pleasant place to live in spite of our occasional winter storms. My experiences here have a background in the National Park Service. I served some time at Yellowstone as a park naturalist at Old Faithful, working with the U.S. Geological Survey on explaining the wonders of Yellowstone Park to tourists. And I find the volcanoes, the setting here on the Pacific coast, most stimulating and enjoyable. But most of all, I love the people here in the peninsula. A lot of retirees like myself, and a general interest in our natural environment and making sure it stays the real resource that it is. I really enjoy the people and learning myself with the population here about the wonders of Willapa National Wildlife Refuge.
Yes, and as I've talked about on this show so many times before, without volunteers, without people like the two of you becoming engaged and involved, I don't know how we couldn't maintain all of these treasures we have here and all this opportunity that we have here. And one thing we didn't mention, Bob Duke, is that you are an astronomer, and that is very different from an astrologer. He is an astronomer, and when we live near one another, he would often, on those lovely starry nights, he would have his big telescope out. And I know that you're going to be involved with that, with this night walk that's happening too.
Absolutely. Night sky, dark night sky has always been one of my passions, and it's one of the always felt one of the resources of the wildlife refuge. And I approached the project leader about a year ago about the idea of having star parties on the refuge, because look at this wonderful dark sky that you have here that does not exist in places like Seattle and Portland and most of the country. And the answer was, well, we can't go on the refuge after dark. And pretty soon she came around to the idea that what a wonderful idea that would be to have the public come out onto the refuge at night and view the beautiful dark sky, and at the same time educate people about the need for the natural diurnal cycle for both human nature as well as nature itself. Owls need darkness, for example, and so do we.
We all need darkness, for sure.
And from that, a committee was formed, and this whole thing just kind of took on a life of its own, of bringing in different programs to add to the event. And the Wonders of Willapa Twilight Walk on the Refuge was born.
And we'll talk more about that event, which is happening this Saturday, one of the first event of the Wonders of Willapa. But I'd like to back up a little bit, Clay, now, and I'd like to ground us in how the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge was formed and why it is different from what we think about as, you know, Willapa Bay and the oysters.
The Willapa Bay provides this almost unique setting for the wildlife refuge. The Willapa National Wildlife Refuge is part of a national system that encompasses refuges like Willapa scattered all across our country, up and down the Mississippi River, up and down the Pacific Coast, Atlantic Coast. I think it's important to realize the slight difference in emphasis between the National Refuge System, Willapa being a part of that, and the National Park System. You know, as a ranger naturalist at Yellowstone, it was impressed on me, and I tried to impress on the public there, that the parks were there for the benefit and enjoyment of all the people. The benefits that accrued to the ecosystem, to the ecology, to the wildlife was a secondary and very important benefit. Here with the wildlife refuges, it's rather reversed. The refuge system established by Teddy Roosevelt, and this refuge established in 1937, is for the benefit of conserving the wildlife. Such an important role in migratory wildlife, as well as the year-round residents here in the bay. The bay itself is primarily not the refuge land. The refuge encompasses quite a few square miles of land scattered in different units from Ledbetter Point at the tip of the refuge, around to the south end of the bay, around on the east side opposite Long Island, where the refuge headquarters are. And if you haven't stopped by there with the public boat landing space and seen that area with its nature trails and art trails, you ought to work that into your busy schedules too. But the refuge then serves an incredibly important role locally, nationally, internationally in the migratory habits of birds as well as our resident bird populations. I was astounded to find out that probably there are over 100,000 little shorebirds that visit the shorelines there of the refuge every year, annually, And they're just part of the probably a million birds that migrate through this environment every year. I think some of you early morning risers were noticed and heard the flocks of migrating geese a little bit earlier this year. Tens of thousands of time of Canadian geese, brant geese, pintail ducks, mallard ducks, many other ducks, just a really important stop in their pathway from down south going up to their Arctic summer feeding grounds. The estuary serves that tremendously important stopover watering hole, so to speak.
Well, refuge, haven. I mean, without that, they could not survive. So it is critical to them. And so then what you're saying, Clay, is that the refuge is made up of units which are not contiguous, because mm-hmm. Willapa Bay is part of the refuge, but it's heavily farmed for oysters, mm-hmm. too. So there's private ownership.
Compatible ownership and use of the bay. And the owners of the oyster farms and the climbing opportunities share desire that also the refuge system has to preserve the relatively pristine nature of the water here. It's so critical to both the oyster farming and to the natural wildlife, both onshore and offshore. So we share a common cause here, very compatible uses, non-interfering uses, and a community that ought to be even more involved with each other than we are now.
And the refuge itself is funded by, you're a 501c3, you have membership, so I have $30 a family membership, and that's, then you are helping protect the refuge. You obviously apply for grants. The more members you have, of course, of the Friends of the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge, and if you want to, by the way, visit the website, it is friendsofwillaparefuge.org. So memberships, grants, this is how, and volunteer opportunities.
Absolutely. In the National Refuge System, I think the annual use of volunteers and friends members like ours here constitute about 25% of the workforce that keeps the National Refuge System going. So talk about an organization and an activity that relies on volunteerism. The National Refuge System really does. Duck stamps also fund a lot of the refuge activities. Mm-hmm. The refuges were originally established, you know, under Teddy Roosevelt's interest in conservation. And so this strange dual nature of Teddy himself, both a great hunter, but also one of the biggest champions of wildlife and conservation that the country's ever known.
And I think what's important, too, is to realize to address what Bob said, which is that the challenge for the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge is that it has not been easily accessible to the public. And what the Friends of Willapa National Wildlife Refuge are doing, aside, you have, you know, trail maintenance programs, you have fourth grade education programs, and you also now are going to have this Wonders of Willapa, this wonderful Twilight Walk, which is happening on Saturday in the refuge. However, it's what you're trying to do is provide more access to the public, correct?
Exactly. And that's one of the things that this program is designed to do, is to show the folks that we are attempting to get grants from that there is an interest and there is a need for this access. And so a line of 50 cars waiting to get in and park and lines of people coming to see it will make a great photograph, if nothing else, to show exactly how strong that need is. And right now, the real challenge is to let people know that it's there and that they can come out and see it. And then what we work on from there is making improvements to make it more accessible. And that's what the Trails Project is all about. And
if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking about a treasure on the Long Beach, Washington Peninsula, directly across the bridge from Astoria, Oregon, and that is the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge. And my guests are Bob Duke, he is the Community Outreach Coordinator for the Friends of Willapa National Wildlife Refuge, and Clay Nichols, who is the President of Friends of Willapa National Wildlife Refuge. And this Saturday, there is a Wonders of Willapa Listen to the Night event. So that's May 24th at 7:30 p.m. It's a twilight walk, and there are going to be some different things happening. And we're going to talk about that in more detail with Bob. You will see, if you get the Daily Historian, that in the Coast Weekend, there is a Wonders of Willapa special article about it. And but I kind of also first want to go back to this idea of how the refuge is. I mean, it's not a secret necessarily. I mean, people on the Long Beach Peninsula know about it. But the Friends of Willapa National Refuge, what are your programs? What is your mission? And how are you engaging people? Obviously, you're here on this program and you're letting people know about it. But
the role of the Friends nationally and locally here are simply to support the mission of the refuge. And by doing that, that means helping in volunteer trail maintenance. And it means supporting the education programs that the refuge have an obligation to do. But it also means an important tie that Bob is such a, has an important role in connecting the refuge with the population here. Now, the problem that we've been dealing with here is simply access. You know, I've lived here 5 years, and a time or two have got stuck at the end of 95th Street trying to turn around there at the lock gate when we were wanting to hike down to the Tartlett Slough area. And the focus of this activity right now, one of the main programs of the Friends Group, is to support the refuge in getting the ball rolling on a trail that ties into the regional trail system. You know, the trail that will go ultimately by the new refuge headquarters, which we hope to be just off 95th Street there in the refuge, close to the PUD headquarters. And this trail then would connect up across the peninsula to the very well-developed trails along the beach on that side and allow access all the way across, more or less like the early inhabitants, the Native Americans, had access across that route to the bay itself.
And it's a delicate balance, because too many people in a refuge is not good, because, as you said, the primary difference between a park and a refuge, the refuge is to protect the animals, to give them a safe haven without, you know, screaming, yelling, you know, people, you know. And so I think when you're in a refuge, there is a respect. And so you're walking that line. You want to provide the access because it's very important. People care about what they see and they can experience for themselves. And then they right. want to donate their time or their resources or financial resources to help protect it. Are you looking for volunteers right now?
We desperately need volunteers. If you think of the programs we have underway, the education, trails maintenance, birding activities, we need volunteers in practically everything to do. In fact, it would be hard to me to imagine a resident of the peninsula or the Astoria area who doesn't have a talent that we couldn't use in the Friends area. But immediately here, what we hope to do is establish a trail entryway there at the end of 95th Street, and we have full support of the county commissioners. We'll love that support. In doing this, we'll have parking so you won't have to endanger your life trying to turn around on a high dike overlooking a floodgate. We'll have kiosk information stations there. And probably very surprisingly, we will have car top boat access available for the first time in that area for all you kayakers and canoeists. And for hunters needing to walk in there.
So if people, Bob, I want to talk a little bit more about this event that you have coordinated. You had this idea about taking people out into the night. And when people come out, what's going to happen Saturday night? And people can come and they can just say, here's the cash in my pocket. Here, I want to be a member. Or here, I want to be a volunteer. I want this trail to happen. What's going to happen on Saturday night, May 24th? At the Willapa Bay, at the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge.
Yes. Well, actually, this is going to be called the South Bay Trail. So it's the very south end of Willapa Bay. It's located right off of 95th Avenue, as mentioned. You travel north on Sandridge Road. That's at the light before you get to Long Beach, and travel about 2 miles, 3 miles. And turn right on 95th, and we'll have someone there to let you know where to park. Bring along a walking stick, flashlight, binoculars, and head off on a one-mile-long trail that will take you right out through a natural forest with some semi-old growth, older growth spruce. It was just there the other day with the fourth grade environmental education program, and we found a spruce tree in that forest that was wider than my car is long. It was enormous. And in fact, one of the students took 37 steps around it and was rather thrilled with that. One of the unique things about this refuge is that, unlike a lot of refuges that might be a refuge for one particular species, such as elk or white-tailed deer, we have more diversity in this estuary than you'll find anywhere in the country. And that's something that I aimed for in this walk, is to have a lot of diversity on the walk. I could just have telescopes set up to view the night sky, but what if it's cloudy? So there are five other things that people can enjoy. For example, we're going to have live saw-whet owls from Coast Rehab up here in Olney. And I don't know if anyone's ever seen those up close. They're absolutely incredible little animals. They're about the size of a kitten with great big dreamy eyes. They're just wonderful little animals. And Josh from the Wildlife Rehab will be there to talk about their programs, as well as what you might be able to hear in the woods that night. Ben Welton, our bird man, is going to be, when you leave the forest and enter the slough area and the wetlands, he'll be there to talk about the spring migration. And a lot of birds migrate at night. You'll be able to hear those as well. The event takes place beginning at 7:30 and will continue as long as people want to stay in the dark.
And that will happen rain or shine?
That'll happen rain or shine.
Okay.
One of the other features we have, and I think it's a very important one, is a representative from the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum will be there to talk about the history of the area. I don't know how many people know that how close we came to having Willapa Bay, which happens to be the second largest estuary and bay on the west coast of the United States, may have ended up looking a lot like San Francisco if the plans of our people back in history had come true, because they had planned on building canals to connect the Columbia River with Willapa. In fact, at one time, the Native Americans could travel by canoe all the way from Tillamook to Puget Sound in a canoe, by just going through waterways and occasional portages. And so we'll have someone representing the museum to talk about those portages and the early life and plans for canals way back in 1824. They have evidence of that.
Sounds like you can step back in time in this refuge.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's a magical place. And we'll have other volunteers along the way to help interpret what can be found in the forest and along the slough. And then at the very end, I will have a couple of powerful telescopes set up for viewing the night sky. We will have binoculars available and spotting scopes for those who don't have them. We'll have flashlights and lanterns for those who want to stay out later. And I encourage everyone to come regardless of the weather, because there's something there for everyone. Even if the rain's coming down sideways, I'd be happy to give someone a 2-mile tour of the area.
Well, we all have appropriate rain gear. If you live here long enough, you need to have that. And it sounds like a wonderful opportunity for families, to be able to be in a place and experience the sounds of the night, whether it's the frogs singing. Yeah. Have you all had a particular experience in the refuge that stands out as being particularly meaningful for you?
For me, Donna, it was a year or so ago, watching the Chum Salmon run on the east side of the bay at the refuge, something that was enabled by the replacement of a culvert. Number of programs that the refuge is undertaking with their volunteer help for improving that, but I've lived and worked in Alaska, and being able to come down here to the bay and seeing salmon running was really a special experience for me.
Mm-hmm. And so there are certain employees of the refuge who are part of the National Wildlife Refuge program? Is that correct? And then, but you need the volunteers to help them.
Yes. The refuge, of course, has a maintenance staff, a very active staff, naturalists, researchers, but they do not begin to have the hands and the eyes
exactly.
and the voices to do everything that needs to be done.
So we only have a couple of minutes left. What else would you like the listening audience to know about either the Friends of Willapa National Wildlife Refuge? And you can go to their website, friendsofwillaparefuge.org, and become a member. We also, of course, the Wonders of Willapa, the Listen to the Night events happening this Saturday at 7:30. And you can get directions, I assume, online at the website or just Sandridge Road to 95th Street.
Yep, it's as simple as
Long
that.
Long Beach Peninsula. So, volunteer opportunities, trail maintenance, fourth grade education programs. What else would you like people to know about?
I think people should check in with the website on a frequent basis because we list all of the activities we have. Some of them are put on by the refuge itself, such as birding activities, tracking activities, go all the way up to Leadbetter and learn how to recognize, differentiate dog tracks from bear tracks, for example, and future Wonders of Willapa events, such as another night event on September 19th.
It sounds like there's a lot. There are things going on the refuge, and again, I encourage all of you, if you have not been to the Long Beach Peninsula and to the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge. It encompasses a much larger area than we realize, although it is not contiguous. It is different units. You were saying that even as you drive on Highway 30 and you look to your, you know, you look north, there are islands. Those are actually part of the refuge, too. And right now, if you want to be involved with the Friends, they are looking for a way to create better access so that you can go out and be in the quiet of nature, which is very healing to body, mind, and spirit. Good for us and good for the wildlife to have the refuge. Any last thing?
Diversity of our membership. You cannot believe how many different kinds of people we have. Engineers, naturalists, birders, hunters, all helping the refuge and its mission.
Yes. And so here is your opportunity to be part of that. Bob Duke, thank you so much. Clay Nichols, thank you so much. Find out more about the Friends of Willapa Refuge at their website, and then come out on Saturday night for the Twilight Walk, the first of the Wonders of Willapa events that the Friends are scheduling, and what just a great family event. Thank you so much for the important work you're doing, and I'm really excited to experience, you know, what's going to happen, who am I going to, you know, what animals, what wildlife will we hear?
Thank you for having us, and I'm looking forward to showing you around the area
absolutely,
tomorrow.
Absolutely. And so I guess even though there will be presentations, there will be places where we can just stop and be quiet and just mm-hmm. listen. Mm-hmm. And that's a really important skill for us in our lives as they become so noisy and busy these days. Thank you again. Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, thank you as always. And I would like to express my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. That helps ground you in your body. And then thank yourself. Focus on all the good things in your life that are working well. And thank yourself for being, doing the best you can, and for being right now in this moment, for being uniquely you, the only one on this planet, and give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for doing the best you can, for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.